20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome in, Packer fans, to another edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thanks again for joining us today. My name is Dan Kotnick, and joining me today are my two favorite Pack-A-Day Podcast co-hosts. It's Matt Frelick and Janelle Mackey. Guys, how are you doing today?
Doing well. Doing well, Dan. I thought you were going to say your favorite Pack-A-Day Podcast, like hosts overall, but co-hosts is, we'll take that. Janelle and I will take that.
Well, it goes
such a compliment.
It goes me number one. I'm my favorite. And then you guys get to play out for 2A and 2B.
I respect it.
At least
you don't love yourself first.
You
can't love anybody else after that, right?
Well said.
Absolutely. I mean, you're my favorite too, Dan, so it makes sense that you pick yourself.
All right. Well, guys,
Spider-Man, Matt. It was just a joke.
Unlike some people, we can understand when it's the joke and when it's a bit.
Oh my God.
you can dive into my Twitter timeline if you want to figure out that one. All right. Guys, we were playing for the last 24 hours. We were playing the hope the Packers break some kind of big news or the NFL actually releases a cap number game to the hope that we would have some real news to actually talk about. That didn't happen. Actually, the only thing that's really come across the wire is that it appears Packers defensive tackle Billy Winn will not be returning this year with the Packers, coming from his Instagram, posted on his story as a thank you at Packers. Not been confirmed by anyone yet, by Billy or even the organization or anybody, but that kind of is a pretty big sign that Billy, a candidate of probably not coming back anyways, is confirming those suspicions that he won't be a Green Bay Packer next year. So that's really kind of our biggest news to talk about today.
I mean, we hoped and prayed. It just wasn't hard enough, but we did get some news before the show.
Our entire group chat is just a bunch of fingers crossed emojis, hoping and praying something would happen, and nothing happened.
It was like a snow day, like kids hoping for a snow day, you know, like what is it, like
flushing, and then you don't see your name you don't see your school's name scrolling on the bottom and you're like, ah, okay.
Okay, man, real quick, nostalgia. But to sidetrack us, that doesn't exist anymore, right? Kids don't get that anymore.
Yeah, snow days, I don't think it
snow
does.
Snow days are over. Snow days are
snow
everything
days
can
in
be online now so.
Mm-hmm. But like even before then, I feel like kids didn't get that. They, you know, they woke up and they went on Facebook and, you know, found like the local news. Here's the local school closings, yada, yada, yada. But like, seriously, remember going and watch, like turning on the TV, or we had a radio. We had like, we just used the kitchen radio because the one TV was right next to my mom's room. We couldn't turn the TV on. You turn on the radio and you like were listening for them to call out your name. And like once it got past you in the alphabetical order, you're like, oh, great. Now I actually have to go get ready for school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm in Minnesota. There's like, I think I had like four snow days in my entire life. So I had more snow days, I think, when I went to Green Bay for college than I did in Minnesota for just K through 12 school. It's like, well, you got a shovel, figure it out.
Real quick. Okay. So Green Bay, you both have spent, Matt, you live in Green Bay.
Yep.
Janelle, you spent time in college in Green Bay.
Yeah.
What is the snow day situation like in Green Bay? Because Southwest Ohio, mm-hmm. we had a fair amount of snow days, and more 2 hour delays than anything. And then when I went to college in Bowling Green, which is just about 2 hours north, we had, I think, two separate times that we had the school actually close because of snow / temperature. So what was it like in Green Bay?
Green Bay? I mean, personally, going to college, I didn't even realize that there could possibly be snow days in college. I just thought that that upper echelon of like scholastic, it would just forge on. But I think I want to say like, man, there might have been two or three. And it's just like, yeah, but that was like the whole UW system was shut down too, because it was just like there was snow across the whole state.
Yeah,
it's it's fun if you have booze. That's good. That was always a plus.
It's especially with it being, is it like Michigan where the wind makes it really aggressive? Yeah. So yeah, it was, and Green Bay, it's more of a, like a suitcase school, commuter school. A lot of people don't live on campus. And I think professors really did not want to drive in some of that weather. I remember, gosh, what April was it, Matt, where there was the really big snowstorm? Was that 2017?
I think it was 2018.
2018, where it was like
senior or junior, but yeah, I remember.
Yeah,
I wasn't in college, but working.
That one was bad.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was
like, I remember opening my front door. I wasn't living on campus, and it was probably the way the wind was blowing, about half the door was covered with snow. Like cliche cartoon, you open the door and it's just snow. Yeah. And it was great. So yeah, I mean,
see,
few snow days here, and it was always like chunks too, where it would be like maybe two or three in a row, and then you wouldn't have any the rest of the year. It was always one bad snowstorm, and then
see, we had the first one I had, I didn't even get to experience the first one that I had because I was traveling with the BG women's basketball team on a road trip to Northern Illinois. So I got snowed in DeKalb, Illinois, which if any of our listeners know about DeKalb, Illinois, there's terrible places to get stuck in a snowstorm, and DeKalb is up at the top of them. but Bowling Green in Northwest Ohio, it really, what it is, and this is going to sound like the most Midwestern thing, it's not the snowfall, it's the temperature, because it is so flat that like the wind chill just it gets dropped by like 20, 30 degrees sometimes. And like, you just can't be outside for more than 5 minutes at a time, or else you start to get hypothermia. So they would close the school for it. So so we've spent
10 minutes talking about the weather.
Talking about snow that doesn't even exist right now.
It's like fantastic. 60 degrees right now in Minnesota, and I'm sitting here talking about a sweater snow outside days.
Today, for God's sake. Okay, so as you can probably tell from this intro, we don't have any real things to talk about. We don't have an NFL cap set yet, so we can't talk about anything in relation to contracts. Free agency is an absolute mystery right now. I think anything revolving around cuts or franchise tags or everything else has been talked ad nauseum by people smarter than us. And so we want to go our way. We are taking this this episode in a full Matt, Janelle, Dan off-road trip. Sort of inspired by, I was inspired by Andy Herman's YouTube Pack-A-Day podcast video today, where he was talking about some of the kind of outlandish trades, like fantasy trades that the Packers could try to, you know, would try to make in, you know, a perfect world or whatever. I wanted to take that one step further into the absolute absurd. So what I have posed to these two and myself, if the Packers could make a trade with any other sports team, not football, any sports team or league or whatever, make a trade straight up, what would you do? And so we've set some rules. Like I said, it's straight up trade. There's no like picks or, you know, cash considerations or whatever. And the thing too is you can't just say they're going to trade, you know, whoever to this team, or they're going to trade for whoever on this team to play for the Packers. I want to try to make this as realistic as humanly possible. So when we give these trades, you need to give us the argument for why the trade equals out on both sides and why it would work. All right. So we're going to do two each here. Janelle and I were very excited about this. Matt seemed like he was having trouble, but that might even prove that it'll be better content coming from Matt. So we'll see.
The trouble is, Dan, executing the value and making the logistics work out as great as Russ Ball does. That's really what it comes down to. I want to get under the cap, but I want to get value for the picks. I want to be able to set up the future, you know, but while fleecing another professional sports team. That's really what it comes down to.
Dan's like, I want this to be as realistic as possible, and my picks are so unrealistic.
Well, okay. Realistic is a very, very amorphous term in this sense, because we're we're trading away football players to play hockey and basketball. So, so it's a very loose definition. Janelle, let me start with you because I know you are chomping at the bit to get our first hockey pick in here. So I'll give you the floor on this one.
Yes. Okay. I know almost nobody is going to know my picks, but my first one, I was thinking, and I was like, you know what? There's all these great hockey talents. Like, yeah, maybe I could throw McDavid in somewhere. But then I started thinking, I was like, you know what? I want a big goalie to play center in the absence of Corey Linsley. So Andre Vasilevsky from the Tampa Bay Lightning, we're going to bulk him up. He's 6'3", I think only maybe like 220, but you know, we can add some pounds, get some cheeseburgers in him, and I'm going to bulk him up and he's going to play center because he's so like, his job is literally protecting and he is one of the best in the league right now. And he, you know, who better to protect Aaron Rodgers than somebody who is one of the best protectors in the National Hockey League. So I'm going to take Andre Vasilevsky. We're going to sign him. We're going to feed him. We're going to put some pounds on him and he's going to go in there and nothing gets past him. He's a brick wall and Aaron Rodgers is going untouched all year.
So that means you're making, so you're trading away Corey Linsley to the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yes, he can go play goalie for the Lightning.
I feel like he could do it.
Win a Stanley Cup. They're a phenomenal team. You know, he's one of the best centers in the league. Vasilevsky is one of the best goalies in the league, if not the best, kind of like Lindsay at center. So yeah, he's big, you know, take up a lot of net space. Easy. He's going to go win a Stanley Cup with them.
I honestly feel like that's a worthwhile trade between both teams.
The only thing that was kind of causing question was Vasilevsky's weight, because he's like 60 pounds less than Lindsay.
Like you said, he gets on that Wisconsin diet.
Exactly. Give him some cheese curds and whatever. Just give him a lifetime supply of Culver's.
Introduce him to Culver's.
Yeah.
And homie will be just fine. Matt, what is your opinion on Andre Vasilevsky?
We missed the tape on him. However, we love the need. Filling the need at center. I love the pickup, getting a guy at center. And I think I could say for Janelle and I were talking about going to college in Green Bay, very easy to attain some pounds by living in Green Bay, just being a part of the community. So he will be just fine bulking up if that's your one concern.
And he's young. I think he's 26. So
love that. Yeah. Love that.
That's also huge.
Janelle comes out firing with the first one. I love this. Okay. Matt. I know you've got one surefire one here, so I assume that's going to be the one you give us here first.
Definitely, and I'm going to preface this one with this is my only NBA pick. We'll see what everyone else shakes out with, but I feel like NBA guys are so fun to always put in the NFL, whether that they play tight end, defensive end, wherever, running back. You know, the time has passed for me personally with LeBron James, just as far as his, you know, youth is not there. I'd love to see him possibly line up for the Browns back in the day, at cornerback or receiver or tight end or wherever they had him slotted at. But I'm looking at a guy who can do a lot of things. He's a big dude in the post. He can step out and hit the threes. He's a great passer from the Denver Nuggets, Nikolai Jokic. 26 years old, 6'11", 285, so we got a big frame on him. Now, the best thing about Jokic, or the Joker, as I mentioned, he can play multiple positions. He can step out and hit the three. He's a great passer and facilitator. So I'm proposing the Packers make a trade in this offseason here. We're going to get rid of Jordan Love, and we're going to sign and trade Aaron Jones. And we're just going to go under the assumption we can use the transition tag on Aaron Jones and trade him away. Somehow we'll get through with that. Adam Silver will approve it. Russ Ball kind of give him a little nudge. It'll work out. I'm convinced of that. However, the best thing about Jokic, as I said, is versatility. So we're going to slot him in at offensive tackle, the left side, until David Bakhtiari comes back. Then potentially we'll put him to right when that comes back, when David's healthy and we're solidified on either side of the line. But really, the way Jokic passes, and the reason we're getting rid of Jordan Love is because Jokic is the future at quarterback. Once Aaron Rodgers gets us another championship, we have the size to see over the offensive line. We don't have to worry about that short stuff. And he's able to pass really, really well. Go look at the pass. I think there's a YouTube video out there of him actually being like someone put out a video like he could potentially be an NFL franchise savior. He can sling that rock. And I think it's a solid move. It checks boxes. He's able to do multiple things and definitely, you know, bridges us from the David Bakhtiari situation with the offensive tackles. Plus, we have our future quarterback there who's only 26 years old at this point.
And Vasilevsky can snap him the ball.
There you go. Exactly. And we're just solidifying that chemistry for years to come.
I love that the first thing that we have done is completely dismantle our offensive line and replace it with a goalie and an ass. This is fantastic. Matt, I gotta say, I was trying to think of like, oh my god, all right, who is an NBA player that like can just absolutely throw darts like across the court? Cause like, but then I was like, but who do you give up? I'm like, And just instantly, like, just a reaction in my head, I'm like, well, the quarterback position is set, so that doesn't make any sense. Matt, I didn't even think about to have the cojones to make that move, Matt. I tip my hat to you.
It's really big. According to my NBA insiders, too, it sounds like the Denver Nuggets do need a combo guard in the back, so Aaron Jones will fulfill that. Him and Jamal Murray will be a good duo, but really, I feel very confident of that. Dan, you mentioned throwing darts. Kevin Love could have been a pick. Again, it goes with getting a little longer in the tooth, mm-hmm. like LeBron James.
Okay, I know that one.
If we would have done this 10 years ago, we have a completely different conversation. But we got to go with the youth. You can't go too old at this point. But, yeah, we're confident, Dan. So I went NHL – or excuse me, Janelle went NHL. I went NBA. What's your pick? I know Janelle and I are at the edge of our seats waiting.
Okay, so I've got two here. And one is NHL as well. And I feel like I need to say it now because Janelle and I were talking that we're worried we're going to have a crossover with our NHL picks down the line here. So I'm going to say this one to just get it out of the way. And I was hoping that she was going to go Tuukka Rask with her when she was talking about goalie.
I debated.
But Vasilevsky, if you're going for youth, that's the play. That's the play. So I think you made the right choice there. I am going to stick though with a teammate of Tuukka Rask in Boston, and I am going to trade Kevin King to the Boston Bruins for Brad Marchand.
Oh my gosh!
Is Janelle? Before I go any further, was that the way you went?
No.
Were you targeting Brad Marchand?
I was not targeting the rat whatsoever.
Okay.
I'm just laughing at the thought of, like, Kevin King going and playing in Boston and probably just getting abused in that division.
Okay, so hold on. Here's my reasoning for how it works. Let me start with Brad coming to the Packers, because that's what most of the people here care about. Brad Marchand, if you're not familiar with the NHL, arguably one of the better goal scorers, or just playmakers, I should say. Right, Janelle?
Like, yeah, he's definitely up there.
Over
100
points every year. He plays on a fantastic line with Pastrnak and Bergeron. But I think as a talent overall, he's a fantastic talent. But what he's really known for is just being a pest. He is an absolute instigator, borderline questionable antics at times.
If you've ever had your face licked in a professional game, you're probably on the receiving end of Brad Marchand.
Yeah, there's a reason that my fantasy hockey team is called Marchand's Kissing Booth. but here's what I want to do. I want to take Brad Marchand. I want to pair him up as cornerback number two to Jaire Alexander. Because Brad may not have the height of Kevin King or even really the overall athleticism on the football field as Kevin King. But can you imagine Brad Marchand just getting under the skin of every wide receiver that he comes across? And just like we talk about this defense having teeth and having swagger. Well, now it has attitude. Now it has get under your skin, piss you off attitude. And Brad is going to bring that attitude every single time that he comes out and plays. And that is what I want. I want him just going out there and instigating. Just
and you think that people. A hockey player isn't going to know how to tackle? They hit right. people for a living.
Exactly. Exactly. And that brings me to Kevin King on the ice. I have no idea of his ice skating ability, but here's the thing.
Boston, best of luck to you.
Boston lost a ton of height when they said goodbye to Zdeno Chara before the season. They now replace that height with Kevin King.
How tall is Kevin King?
I think he's 6'1". Yeah, I think he's about 6'3". Yep. I think.
Mm-hmm. You know how tall Zdeno Chara is, right? He's like 6'7".
I know how trust me, I know how tall Zdeno Chara is. I get it. But you replace some of that height with Kevin King, and here's the best part about it. Kevin King's tackling in the NFL when it was all shoulder works perfectly in the NHL. No need to wrap up in the NHL. You just put your body into them and you're getting on the stat sheet. So That's why I think this is a perfect move for.
Yeah, you don't have to wrap up in the NHL. No.
Exactly. You don't need to finish tackle. Just get in front of him. Just put yourself out in front of him. You'll be fine.
He would definitely be on the defense.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. No, Kevin King is not a goal scorer.
As I was reviewing our notes here for my my GM and my scouts and everything, we're noticing that Marchand is 5'9".
Yes.
Is that a concern for the front office?
No, it's not.
No? Okay.
No, it's not.
You think 5'9 is a concern? Just wait till you hear my next pick.
I'm terrified.
Okay. I don't want to wait anymore. Janelle, give it to me. I need to hear this.
Okay. My extremely unrealistic lifelong dream is the Packers trade. Well, you know, Aaron Jones can't afford to pay him. Gonna have to say goodbye to him. We're sending him to the Women's National Hockey League in exchange for 5'2" Kendall Coyne Schofield. Ah! We have a girl on the team, Kendall Coyne Schofield. She's married to a Super Bowl champion, Mike Schofield, so she knows what football is, and I want her in there at running back. She is one of the fastest human beings I've ever seen on skates. There is no way that she cannot swerve her way. Little 5'2 Kendall Coyne. She's going to find a way. She's going to be elusive behind the offensive line. You know, her husband's going to kind of give her some tips and tricks on what she needs to look for in the gaps. And I mean, yeah, she's 28, but she is still one of the best. And she also, there is video proof of her out there. Yes, she's 5'2", but she was squatting her husband, who is 310 pounds. So she's got the quads she needs to be an elusive running back for the Packers. And Aaron Jones, you know, he reps that El Paso hockey sweater. He knows hockey culture. Mm-hmm. He can go out there and, you know, whatever. It's co-ed now. Co-ed hockey. Aaron Jones is out there, and you know that he's going to be a goal scorer. So I think it's a great trade.
I like it.
I love that. I'm absolutely in love with that pick.
I told you, unrealistic, but Kendall Coyne, and you know, it's International Women's Day. She is one of my, if not my favorite female athlete of all time. And you know that she's going to bring the work ethic to this team.
I can't say enough about that. That is, and to put up and to just go out of the box and not put her at like kicker or punter.
No, but hell no.
As a running back.
She is a running back.
the most hits. Like that is freaking awesome. I love this.
If need be, she could probably do a little special teams returning, you know. I don't know what her catching abilities are, but you know, if you're married to a football player, I'm sure they've gone out and played catch once or twice. You know, she's a natural athlete. She'll figure it out.
Dude, put her as a gunner. Have someone get down there and you're not relying on J.K. Scott to make the tackle.
She will do it.
Janelle, knock it out of the park. That's a great one. Matt, you have a crap ton to live up to here now.
I do.
And if you don't know who Kendall Coyne is, make sure you go look her up.
Yeah, go Google it.
Please.
Check out the videos.
So Matt. I wanted to go NBA here, but I strayed away. I wanted to diversify a little bit. I dipped into the MLB range, and it was tough to go through because I wanted to go get a big name. I wanted to go get maybe like a Mike Trout. I just felt like the price was too expensive on him. I wanted to go get a couple of guys a little bit older in the tooth as far as just, you know, they played football before, and Alex Gordon came to mind, but he's 37, not going to work for me. There's a couple other guys I saw out there, but one I really, really particularly liked checks boxes for me. He's young at, 25 years old. He's fast as hell, which is always is fantastic when I'm building a player and a team. And he has a pedigree of a professional athlete. His father was Raul Mondesi, and we're going with Adalberto Mondesi. He led the league, I believe, 2 years ago in stolen bases. Super quick guy, 6'1", 200 pounds, and we're going to slot him in at cornerback. Packers desperately need a cornerback. Depending if we can pull off the trade with Kevin King to the Boston Bruins, that'll be need to be seen. But he's gone. He's essentially gone. Now, the beauty of this trade here is that we're going to get rid of some players that do have some baseball or, should I say, softball experience. Unfortunately, the green and yellow charity game was canceled this last year. We'll see if it happens in 2021, if Jordy will be there, Donald Driver, et cetera.
Donald Driver's hosting one.
Thank you. So in 2019, I believe the box score, one reflected that Robert Tonyan won the home run derby. Yes, we are trading away Robert Tonyan. We have equity in Jay Sternberger. We have DeGuara. I think we're going to be set at the position. We're getting rid of Oren Burks, kind of a hybrid dude that never fit the Packers. But again, an athlete that they can slot in possibly as a utility guy. But they're getting a big home run hitter in Robert Tonyan and Oren Burks, and then we're getting our number two cornerback to pair with Jair Alexander, and that speed can do some wonders there. So I'm happy to see what that can do in the new with the new defensive coordinator, see what Jerry Gray can do there. But really, it's a youth speed movement that we're getting on that the defensive side to fill a void.
Matt, perfect pick. Seriously, like I was sitting here because I was trying to. This is why we were going to do three originally. And then, like, I realized I don't know if I could have thought of three different that weren't, like, all hockey players, basically.
Yeah.
or basketball. And I was trying, like, desperately to think of, like, somebody in baseball. I'm like who's got a specific skill set? Who's got, like, a build that I could slot easily into, you know, a football team? But I don't know the MLB as well as, like, as other leagues. And so, Matt, you bring up that name and like instantly, yeah, you're right. Like this, like that's one thing you can't teach is speed. Like get yep. me a speedy guy out on the defense. Fits in perfectly. Matt crushed it. I don't know when you came up with that pick, if it was the last 10 minutes or whatever, but whenever you did, stroke of genius. I love it.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
I love how in depth and how thought out Matt's picks are. And you can tell that he is now a Madden coach because he looks at all these all these different what do I need, what am I looking for, the value, right. Like build my perfect player, here we go. And
exactly
it.
It's like, and I also kind of want to make, you know, I don't want to just completely fleece a team like Dan did, just giving Kevin King to the Boston Bruins. I want to make it a good value for them. So
hold on a second, I'm a Bruins fan and I'm okay with this. If he can skate, I think it's a perfect fit.
Okay. All right.
Skate, like he can just be a goon and
Kevin King
figure it out.
Probably throw hands.
Yeah, you know he could go be the goon, be the instigator, and whatever.
They need it. Just, they get rid of Marchand. They need someone to get under the skin. That yeah.
Exactly.
Right. Enough goon slander. All right. Is it my last one here now?
It is.
Okay. So I had a lot of thinking about this one, guys. And I wanted to go, Janelle, I wanted to go in your direction. And this whole episode is a testament to you guys taking an idea that I thought of and running far away with it better than I did. Because I played safe. I played scared. And just, Matt, you went MLB. You found a way to make MLB work. It's perfect. Janelle, you found a way to get a woman into the NFL in a non-kicking role. Because I was thinking, I'm in the camp. I've said that if the cap situation becomes dire, if things start looking iffy, if you start needing to make cuts, or if you feel like you've got a prospect lined up that you are ready to nab, I'm in the camp that I'm okay to start talking about letting Mason Crosby go at this point.
just with injuries and age and everything else like that, if you find someone that you think is the next one, I'm okay letting it go. So I was like, wouldn't it be cool if we could get like Rose Lavelle into the NFL and play, not just because she's my favorite, like, USA women's player.
Wait, is she the Badger?
Yes. Former Wisconsin Badger.
There we go.
Now playing for the women's side of my favorite team, Manchester City. So there's a lot to connect there. But I even thought for Manchester City player, like men's player, Kevin De Bruyne coming in as a kicker. I'm like, but here's the thing. Mason Crosby going to play soccer, it just doesn't add up to me. I couldn't make the math work. But here's another one, Matt, for you that I think you might appreciate that I had in my back pocket. I wanted to get Taco Fall on this team so damn bad.
Man.
And I was ready to trade J.K. Scott to Boston to bring in Taco Fall as the new punter / guy that stands over the center or over the long snapper on kicks. Because imagine putting a guy that's 7'6" in front of the center. He doesn't need to jump, doesn't need to run over anybody. Just stand a yard or so back from the center and put your hands straight up. You instantly created the biggest defender in the league.
Maurice Drayton would love that as the special team case. He would be a big fan.
But here's where I went. And because it was my idea, I'm taking the rules and I'm throwing them out of the window right now, guys, because I am not trading a player from the Green Bay Packers. I am trading a selection of Green Bay Packer fans. I am trading a selection of Green Bay Packer fans away. I am sending them overseas and I am replacing them with European soccer fans. Boom! What?
Wait, and just here, all Packers fans?
No. Section, hold on, collection. Hold on.
Sorry.
I want to preface this before you turn this episode off. Not all Packer fans. # not all Packer fans.
You know which ones he's talking about.
You know damn well which Packer fans I am talking about. I am talking about Ethel and Marvin, who drive up from Sheboygan and have owned season tickets since the 40s. And tell me to sit down on 3rd and 2. Those are the fans I'm talking about. The ones that create the worst fan experience in the NFL. I have been on record multiple times saying that I think the Packers season ticket waitlist is something that it creates a very detriment, has a detrimental effect on the Lambeau experience. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like there is a certain group of fans that treat a Packer game as if they are going to church.
Yep.
And it makes for the worst environment if you are coming to watch a football game. I'm not going to be quiet. I'm not going to sit down. And here's another thing too. I love that Packer fans don't have this this reputation like Philly or like New York, where, you know, if you come in wearing a different jersey, you're going to get a beer tossed on you. But you know what? I have gone to so many Packer games where, you know, like before the game even starts, Packer fans are buying opposing players or opposing fans beers and like, thanks for coming out, eh? I'm done with this. I am done. I want soccer hooligans in the stands. I want everybody chanting and cheering the entire game, which the soccer fans do for a straight 90 minutes of chants that are directed at certain players. They're directed at coaches. They're popping smoke. They've got drums. Like, this is the environment that I feel needs to be created in Lambeau. Get Lambeau crazy and rocking and create an environment that makes it tough for players and fans to come in and support anybody but the Green Bay Packers. Diatribe.
Strong argument.
That is such an out of the box pick, but I fully support it.
Because I
understand, like, yep, exactly what you're talking about.
Not only did I learn,
and Matt, as a owner of Matt, as a part owner of the Packers, would you agree?
I would. Like I was going to say, like, not only did I learn two new NHL players tonight. Granted, they were on the scouting list, and you know we did go through their evals, but I learned a little bit more through the process. But I didn't realize that Dan and I have sat in similar seats before with Marvin and Ethel in the same section as us. I've had those exact same fans behind me, Dan. It's crazy. We must almost miss each other just in passing.
Now, again, like I've had so many good experiences with Packer fans at games. I come in as an out-of-stater. You know, I always get sort of weird looks because obviously I'm not the season ticket holder that's sitting in these seats when I go to games. But I've had tons of great experiences with season ticket holders. I've never had a truly awful Lambeau experience. But, like, at a certain point, guys, like maybe it's time that we did have one or two bad experiences if it creates the environment that I think we need. I think there is just this weird like aura and entitlement around it where, you know, like, well, we've been season ticket holders for, you know, 50 years. Well, maybe that's not always a good thing because then now most of the time you're just selling your tickets to Vikings fans that come in for the game. You know, like it just creates a weird environment. Get me people in there. They're going to be passionate on every single down and make noise and make Lambeau loud.
Get loud Lambeau.
I like it. Are you accepting all soccer, European soccer fans? I know there are some
radical ones.
Is
there like a certain team that you're trading the Packers fans to?
Here's if I can go off the board a little bit.
And I mean, I think you already.
You know what? Right. You know what? This is so niche. I'm pretty sure I'm the only, like this only applies to me. There is a third-tier soccer team here in Detroit called Detroit City FC. If you have not looked, I don't care. If you like soccer, you have no interest in soccer, I don't care what your interest in soccer is. Look up Detroit City FC and just take a look at how these fans create the environment at this place. The opposing team walks in. What do? You turn your back to them and you give them the double bird. And you just have no interest in anyone there that is not rooting for your team. You're popping smoke. You are talking. You are doing chants that talk about what certain players are having relations with other people that they might know in their family. Like, that is the kind of stuff that that's not the kind of stuff that I want to see at an NFL game. But that kind of intensity, that kind of passion, that's what I want to see at Packer games. I just don't see it all the time. You know, that's mm-hmm. it's really just this is a culmination of my frustration at times with the environment that is created at Lambeau.
It's a strong argument.
And my rant.
I respect it.
We have rebuilt quite the team here.
Yeah, the Packers look incredibly different.
Super Bowl champions for sure.
And so do the people watching the Packers now, apparently. And it works, you know, it works out the opposite side of that trade. European soccer fans or European soccer teams, they get more American eyeballs on them when all of the old Packer fans go across to watch their soccer teams. There, go ahead, be quiet. Go watch soccer. But what I want is I want people to reach out to us with their weirdest ones. Tell us what you think of ours. That's why we do these, is to create the engagement. I want to engage you guys with the conversation. Tell me why my picks are terrible. I want to know why. So let us know. Follow the page or follow the show on Twitter at Packaday Podcast. You can find all three of us as well on Twitter. That's where you can reach out to us and let us know what you think about our takes. Guys, you want to let people know where they can find you out there?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter still at Matt_Frey_. That's at MATT_FRA_. Assuming you're listening to this on Tuesday morning, afternoon, anytime before, I don't know, 6, 7 o'clock, whenever we're doing it. We are doing a ice cream draft tomorrow, which Dan will, mm-hmm. I'm sure, plug here. Pretty pumped for that. Trying to make sure my research is as adequate as my ice cream puns will be to melt the competition. Janelle, where can everyone find you on Twitter?
Yeah. You can find me at BigMac_4. I'm putting out, obviously, Pack-A-Day every other Tuesday. I've got open book every Thursday on Game On Wisconsin. I've got the First Line podcast. If you're into the hockey stuff, if you know who I was talking about earlier, that's probably where you should go listen to me other than here. I also, because this is coming out on Tuesday, my first episode of Minds of the Game with Brandon Bostic should be posted today. So that's really exciting.
Oh, awesome.
Yes, I'm very excited about that one. It ran really long, but you know, it was just too good of a conversation to cut short. So yeah, those are all the places you can find me. I think that's all of them. And yeah, and today, if you're listening to this today on Tuesday, yes, the ice cream draft where you can watch us live and be goofballs and have a good time.
Yeah, if you enjoyed us making asses of ourselves here, come watch us do it live tomorrow on YouTube. Speaking of which, my stuff, I am at DK All The Way on Twitter. You can follow me over there. And as both of these guys have pointed out, my show for Game On Wisconsin, each and every Tuesday leading up to the draft called Draft Day, Tuesdays at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on the Game On Wisconsin YouTube page. And like I said, these two guys are going to join me today, later on today. And we're going to draft ice cream flavors. So make sure that you stop in for that and each and every week. And then each and every day here at the Pack a Day podcast with the people that are not doing the hard hitting podcasting journalism like we do. But they'll still be here each and every day with real info and real breakdowns of Green Bay Packers stuff. So make sure you follow us here the rest of the time here on the Pack a Day podcast. But until next time, guys, 2 weeks from now, when we talk again here on the podcast, as always, I don't know. I was going to say something about ice cream, but I didn't have an ice cream pun. Matt, do you have an ice cream pun for us to wrap us out?
I mean, we could tie in Brad Marchand licking.
get your licks in, everybody, and go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.